On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers called the legislature to a special session over the weekend to make changes to the spring election set for tomorrow. At a news conference Friday, he laid out his argument to postpone the election.
The bottom line is that I can't ignore that municipal leaders from Green Bay to Milwaukee to Waukesha significantly condensed the number of polling locations available, creating a dangerous situation where voters, staff, and volunteers will not be able to avoid large groups or practice social distancing when they go out to vote.
Lawmakers held a special session Saturday afternoon that came to an end in seconds. So where do you come down? Forge ahead with the election or postpone amid the global crisis? Are you planning to vote tomorrow? How will you get it done? We're at 800-642-1234. Patrick Marley covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
And Laura White is here as well, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, thanks for being here. Hey, Laurel, can you hear us? I think we're having a little bit of difficulty here with Laurel. Patrick, bring us up to speed on what happened over the weekend with Governor Evers calling the special session to move to mail-in ballots.
So when the governor calls a special session, the legislature has to meet on the day that he calls them, but they don't have to actually do anything. And so Republicans who don't want to move the election took advantage of that. They came in on Saturday. So actually in the Senate, no Republicans showed up. They just had their appointed chief clerk bang them into session with his gavel and then immediately adjourn the session until today. And so two Democrats showed up for that. It lasted a matter of seconds. And then a few minutes later over in the assembly, Tyler August, who is the speaker pro tem, did the same thing. And just again, a matter of seconds, brought them into session immediately, ended them. One Democrat, Diane Hasselbein, showed up for that, said she didn't want to end the session, but it didn't matter. And so technically they will come back today, but you know, we have no reason to believe they'll do anything different than what they did on Saturday.
So they're expected to come back at 10 o'clock this morning. What is the governor expecting out of this special session? What does he want?
What he wants them to do is to push back the election instead of having it, instead of tomorrow being the big day, having it in May, but having it all be done by mail. He says it's just not safe to go to the polls, and so we should have everybody casting absentee ballots. Of course, people have been casting absentee ballots for a few weeks in record numbers, but some people haven't voted, and you know, we don't know what turnout's going to be like tomorrow, but there could be quite a number of people gathering, and of course, with coronavirus, people aren't supposed to be getting together in large numbers or in really any number outside of their home.
Well, let's hear a bit more from the governor talking on Friday about what led to this move.
My hands are tied, and that's why I spoke to the legislative leaders about this weeks ago. I even publicly called on them to act. They have made it clear they are unwilling to change.
Do we know, Patrick, if the governor has been in talks with Assembly Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald? How are communication lines on this election issue?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that the governor's views on this have changed over time, and his push for delaying the election came pretty late in the game. The week prior to last was when he said that he wanted to have an all-mail election and wanted everybody to have a ballot voted or mailed to them. Now, that was just a little over a week before the election. There would have been massive logistical hurdles to do that. And so it is true that the governor has pushed for this and called for this, but it's really been only in recent days. In the early stages, he was talking about more modest things like, and I say modest in the context of this election, loosening some of the rules for witnesses on absentee ballots, getting rid of the voter ID law for this election, doing things that would make it a little easier to administer an in-person election, but not actually canceling the in-person election as he now wants to do, or I shouldn't say cancel, postpone.
So it wasn't until Friday that we saw a wholesale, basically public announcement for asking to have this election postponed. And it sounds as if legislative leaders haven't really entertained this idea at all.
No, they have, and they've been frustrated that the governor's views on it have changed. They early on were saying they agreed with him that the solution should be to have in-person voting on Tuesday, but to try to maximize the amount of absentee voting. Their view is that you have elections all the time, no matter what. We had them 100 years ago during the Spanish flu, that you have them in times of war, that the Constitution was written in a time of crisis and is built to be able to withstand very difficult times like we're in right now.
We're talking about tomorrow's election with reporters who cover state politics. We have Patrick Marley here with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Laurel White is here as well. Laurel, can you hear me now?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. All right. Well,
all right.
You know, let's look at election clerks, Laurel, across the state, have been voicing concerns. We've heard from them about the surge in absentee ballots and the loss of poll workers. What are election clerks saying at this point? What are you hearing?
Well, really, what you just said are the two highlights. I mean, we know that clerks across the state are dealing with really critical shortages of poll workers. I think Milwaukee is a really good example. We know that they've been operating for at least a week with less than half of what they normally have. Neil Albrecht, who's the head of elections in Milwaukee, said last week he had 400 poll workers when he normally has 1,400. And that number obviously could have changed by this point. We know that Milwaukee made the decision on Friday because of that shortage to go down from 180 polling sites in the state to just 5 polling sites. So that's a really drastic example, but I think it's a good way to illustrate what other clerks are dealing with. We know the Elections Commission has said that as of about a week ago, again, about 111 voting jurisdictions in Wisconsin didn't have enough staff to even open one polling place on Election Day. They've had a week to work on that and get more volunteers and figure things out. But this is a really unprecedented situation for them in terms of staffing. And for the absentee ballot requests, I mean, again, these are numbers that clerks have just never seen or anticipated in terms of the requests that they're getting to mail these out and then processing them when they get back. They actually had to reach out to the State Elections Commission, and the Elections Commission purchased 1 million more envelopes and has been getting this emergency supply of additional envelopes to clerks so they can meet the demand.
Let's bring in a call. Angela is joining us from Madison. Hi, Angela. Angela, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. What is on your mind for tomorrow's election?
Well, I think that it would be nice if the legislature today could find a compromise solution, such as people that requested the absentee ballot by the voting day. Those would be accepted back as valid votes. My situation is I was in Germany 3 weeks ago. I requested an absentee ballot, and much to my surprise, I had to upload a photo. I didn't have the capacity to do that. I don't have a smartphone. And so I thought, I'll just wait till I get back. As things unfolded, I requested the ballot. I unfortunately didn't get it until it was too late to get it in the mail until today.
Yeah.
And because of that, I know it's not going to count. I'm not going out of my house to drop it off at a library. And I vote all the time. I'm 68 years old, and I'm really sad about this.
This
pandemic is unprecedented.
This is one person's story, Angela, in Madison. Your story as well. We have WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel State Politics reporter Patrick Marley. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are talking about tomorrow's election. We're looking at how legislative leaders will be moving on a couple of bills that would spend more than $700 million to help state agencies respond to the pandemic. And in recent days, a second bill tied to economic recovery and health care needs How would you like the state to prioritize funding, especially federal stimulus dollars? What do you want to know about testing results or the surge in unemployment claims? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Patrick Marley and Laurel White who stay with us. They cover state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Wisconsin Public Radio, respectively. Let's take another call now. Nate is joining us from Milwaukee. And Nate, I understand you are going to be a poll worker.
Yes, I am. I've been a poll worker before, and I am younger than some of the other poll workers. So I feel like I have a better chance of surviving if I get coronavirus than some of the other poll workers who I think about our retirement age. I'd be worried about dying if they were exposed. The location I'll be going to has three different aldermanic districts, which we don't usually go, which means tens of thousands of voters could possibly be going to one spot during a pandemic. And at least one of those districts already has a pretty bad outbreak of coronavirus compared to the other ones. So I have no doubt this is spreading. I'm going to assume that I'm going to be exposed tomorrow. I also have a retirement age mother with health problems that I'm worried coronavirus would kill if she caught it.
Nate,
and I feel, yeah.
Nate, have you been briefed at all about what you will be, what types of aid you will be having in terms of your protective gear or anything else that you will have access to at the poll?
We have been told that the city will provide us gloves and masks, which I'm glad because we'll be handling all the ballots after the election to make sure they're sorted and we go through looking for write-in votes. And so I will certainly be using what the city provides, but we'll be sitting in a room for hours. No matter if somebody walks in coughing or coughs on their ballot or anything like that. And like I said, one of these areas is where there's an active coronavirus outbreak.
Nate, thank you so much for calling in and providing your perspective. Patrick Marley, we've seen a letter signed by 10 mayors across the state asking Secretary Palm to exercise the power to close down buildings where voting occurs and prohibit public gatherings. Do you know if there is any traction on that letter?
I'll answer that in one second. I do want to go back to something that first caller said. She indicated she had requested a ballot and not received it yet and was very concerned about being able to cast that because she's not going to leave her home. It's important to know that there was a judge's ruling last week that said that ballots can be received up until April 13th. So Friday was the deadline for requesting a ballot, but anyone who has requested one, they should get a ballot, and they may get it after Election Day. But even so, under the current court ruling, they can submit that to the clerks, and as long as it's back in the hands of a clerk by April 13th, it will be counted. Now, there's an appeal, so that could change, but that's just an important thing to know out there.
Yeah, over the weekend, the Republican National Committee and others sought an emergency stay. It's made its way to the Supreme Court. What do we know about the emergency stay here in this lower court ruling?
So the hours after the decision came out, the Republicans appealed. There was an appeals decision that affected the witness requirement, but not the main part of the decision, which was that counting would continue until April 13th. The ballots could be received up until that date. It's in the hands of the Supreme Court now. You just got to stay paying attention to the news here to see if the Supreme Court involves itself in this case in the next 24 hours.
We're talking about tomorrow's election with two reporters who cover state politics. We have Patrick Marley here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and WPR's Laurel White. Laurel, I want to ask you as well, do you see momentum growing around what the governor could do with his emergency powers to shut down an election? And also what mayors are providing some pressure here?
Mm-hmm. I think that's really the million-dollar question right now. I think based on these cases moving through the courts, as Patrick was mentioning there, And the request over the weekend for the special session of the legislature to act on this, it's pretty much down, it seems, to some sort of emergency order from the governor, the governor's administration, that would be the thing that would delay the election at this point. We know that the governor has been kind of loath to do that up until now, obviously. There have been some conversations about the legal challenges that might be spurred by him issuing some sort of emergency order about the election, whether his emergency powers actually encompass that sort of ability to do that. I know that actually Patrick did some reporting about someone that is close with the governor saying the governor's concerned about if he issues that order, potentially that could lead to a lawsuit and then compromise some of his other emergency powers during this pandemic. So if he takes a step here, it could hurt other efforts that he wants to make in addressing the coronavirus in Wisconsin. So it's a definitely not a straightforward situation in terms of what the Evers administration can do or really what they want to do.
Well, let's bring in another call now. Stacy is here from Oshkosh. Hi, Stacy.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
My family had requested ballots 2 weeks ago, absentee ballots, and we still haven't received them. And I know several other people in our area that haven't gotten their ballots that requested them around the same time. So now I've lost confidence that I'm even going to receive my absentee ballot. So I guess I have to go out and try and vote at my polling place in person tomorrow and see if they'll let me. So I'm concerned I'll be disenfranchised.
So, Patrick, what happens then if people who requested absentee ballots days ago, weeks ago, don't receive them in the mail?
So I believe you should check with your clerk, but I believe you can cast your ballot at the poll. You know, you can go to the polls and vote there. Obviously, you would not be able to cast your absentee ballot as well. But if you have not returned your absentee ballot, I believe you're allowed to change course and vote at the polls.
So, Laurel, we've talked about Wisconsin being a battleground state in the November presidential election. Could Wisconsin also play a role in, you know, picking the Democratic nominee here? And because we've also seen Biden speak up about Wisconsin's election situation. And, you know, what do you see there?
Well, I think that's an interesting question and something that, you know, my answer today would not have been something we would have anticipated. Several weeks ago, certainly a couple months ago, the Democratic primary has really changed. We were in a position where we thought Wisconsin was going to play a pretty critical role in that primary because there were still a lot of folks involved. It was pretty competitive. Then we've seen, obviously, that kind of cascade of support behind Joe Biden, his campaign looking really strong. And, you know, recent polling is just continuing to confirm that. So we're not certainly in a position that we thought we were going to be in several weeks ago in terms of making a really powerful statement about the Democratic primary. I think it's obviously something that we still want to watch very closely. Bernie Sanders won here in 2016. A lot of really avid Bernie Sanders supporters in Wisconsin, and, you know, keep an eye on what, if any, impact that could have on the race if he does well here. But I don't think conventional wisdom is pointing to a Sanders victory in Wisconsin right now.
Patrick, the presidential candidates will be at the top of the ballot tomorrow. What else are voters deciding on?
Yeah, there's a lot on the ballot, and everything else is not a primary. So the statewide election is for state Supreme Court between Daniel Kelly, the incumbent, and Jill Karofsky, a Dane County judge. There's an amendment to the state constitution over crime victims' rights. That's known as Marcy's Law. Milwaukee mayor, Milwaukee county executive, school boards all over the state, county boards all over the state. And one issue that has been raised if this election were to be delayed is that many of those offices have terms that begin in April. And so if you extend the election beyond April, there'd be this separate question to wrestle with over, you know, are those positions vacant? Do you give the current office holders an extended term? Is that legal? You know, all the questions that are attendant with that have to be considered as there's discussion about whether to move the election.
Okay, Laurel, as we wrap up then, so I understand that the appeal to the Supreme Court is in the hands of Justice Kavanaugh. When might we see any type of response from the High Court?
That could happen anytime. And again, this is about the extension of receiving ballots until April 13th. Republican lawmakers are concerned about ballots that are postmarked after Election Day being counted. So that would be what the Supreme Court is weighing in on. And as we often do with court cases, we are just watching really closely because it could happen really any minute.
Laurel, thank you for joining us. Patrick, thank you as well. Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. Patrick Marley covers state politics for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Representative John Nygren, co-chair of the legislature's Influential Budget Committee. Lawmakers are weighing economic relief proposals in response to the pandemic. What do you need from lawmakers right now? Call in 800-642-1234. We'll be back with Representative Nygren after this news update on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Quick signpost here. You can find the latest coronavirus news and a hive of related stories and data analysis at our website. Go to WPR.org/COVID. And that's where you can also hear the daily White House Coronavirus Task Force briefings. We have a live stream set up to begin when special coverage begins. Again, WPR.org. Right now, we have Republican State Representative John Nygren on the line. What do you want to know about the response to the pandemic from state lawmakers? What policy action do you want to see? What do you want lawmakers to understand as they consider economic relief bills? We're at 800-642-1234. Representative John Nygren's district includes Marinette, Oconto, Suamico in the northeast part of the state. He's co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Representative Nygren, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Good to be with you.
Lots of debate right now in and out of the courtroom over postponing tomorrow's election or delaying election deadlines. Where do you fall in this debate?
Well, I mean, it is a conversation, of course, that you know we've never had before in our state facing a pandemic, at least not in modern time. I believe that clerks around the state are prepared. I've talked to my clerk, county clerks, as well as some of my local clerks. You know, they're using social distancing. They're using things such as drive-up ballot drop-offs. You know, they're sanitizing their facilities. And in addition to that, we as a society, we as voters in Wisconsin, have adjusted to this situation by requesting a record number of absentee ballots. My local municipality here is basically on track for voter turnout, and it's all been done by people sending in their ballots in advance. So, and those projections, I think, are going to be consistent throughout the state, that you're going to see a record number of voting by mail. In addition, the National Guard is sending 5,000 troops to assist at the polls. So the shortage of poll workers, I think, is going to be addressed by the National Guard. My areas, I called and volunteered, and you can't go outside your county to assist, but I called and volunteered in Marinette County, and they are staffed in every single location. So I think the election needs to go on. We've done this in past wars. We've done it in the 1918 pandemic. We need to move forward because, quite honestly, Kate, we don't know when this is going to get better.
Okay, so over the weekend, the Republican National Committee, the Wisconsin Republican Party, and the state legislature sought an emergency stay at the Supreme Court about expanded absentee voting of the lower court's ruling that absentee ballots in the state could be returned through 4 o'clock p.m. on April 13th, nearly a week after in-person voting. How do you fall on this issue of expanded absentee voting?
I think the number one concern with, first of all, there's always been a deadline, right? There's always been a deadline when you had to request and when your ballot needs to be received. I think the concern is going to be, you know, how is this process going to work? How can we maintain the integrity and the security of those ballots to make sure that they are received by the deadline, that they're all counted appropriately, that there's not, you know, any type of foul play going on here. So I think that's what the court action is requesting. You know, I actually talked to one of my clerks over the weekend, and, you know, whether it's this lawsuit or others, her point was election policy should not be determined by the courts. I agree. Let our clerks deal with the laws that are on the books. Judges should not be stepping in to make changes to law that's been well established in Wisconsin.
So do you plan to attend in some way the special session at 10 o'clock this morning? What have Republicans been talking about addressing and how they will go about the special session?
I do not believe there will be any special session. The governor, let's just be honest, this for weeks, the governor was supportive of moving forward with this election. Up until a national political article was critical, Democrats were critical of his leadership on moving forward with the election. You don't for weeks say that we're going to move forward and then on a Saturday or a Friday late in the day call a special session the next morning to make changes. Voters need certainty. They know what it needs to be expected of them. From a voting standpoint, you don't go into a special session just hours before the vote is going to be, people are expected to turn out. People want certainty, and unfortunately, the governor flip-flopped on his consistent call for in-person voting on April 7th.
Let's take a call now. Nancy is with us from Ellsworth. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I was going to volunteer at the polls tomorrow. And because we're in a pandemic and because people would have to come together in a group without being able to do social distancing, that's asking people to put themselves at grave risk. And on the other hand, if there are troops there to deal with the vote, to help people vote, that's going to make a lot of people very much afraid. The president has called this a war against this virus, and we need to have voting by mail, and that's, can't the governor do that for us? Asking people to get out and vote tomorrow is a cruel, cruel thing to the public in Wisconsin.
Representative Nygren, how would you respond to Nancy?
Well, as I said, first of all, troops are coming, are being assigned, but they're going to be in street clothes, is my understanding. So it's not going to be, look like something out of, some movie. It's going to be people that are just going to be assisting. I have seen municipalities that have, face shields set up for voting. Let me go back to something I said earlier. So my local municipality, it's a small township. Typically, I ask the clerk how many they have in a spring election. He said typically 1,000. As of Friday, they had 950 mail-in ballots already received. A large, large, large percentage of people have already voted via mail. We can continue to move forward with a very small turnout at the polls, and we can do it safely. I've been out of my house three times in the last 3 weeks to go to the grocery store or Walmart. And I'm not comparing voting to going to Walmart, but we have, going to Walmart, they have wiped down every single cart before you use it. They have taken steps to keep people socially distanced from each other. We can do the same. Our clerks are doing a great job in managing this election.
We're talking about the coronavirus pandemic with State Representative John Nygren. He co-chairs the legislature's budget committee. You can join in 800-642-1234. Let's go to Vicki now in Mequon. Vicki, hi. Vicki, are you there? And it doesn't sound like we have Vicki. Representative Nygren, let's look at how you think state authorities have responded to the pandemic so far. What are you seeing? Do you agree with the governor's stay-at-home order?
This is one of those situations where you have to trust the experts as far as, the steps that have been taken. And I think Republicans are supportive of making sure that we flatten that curve. My understanding of this situation is trying to flatten the curve doesn't mean that we're going to completely, eliminate the possibility that you or I get this eventually. Flattening the curve is a opportunity for the medical system to be able to build the infrastructure and the capacity to be able to deal with it and kind of spread it out over a longer period of time. So, social distancing, people staying at home, I think was a reasonable step for us to take. As far as other things the governor has taken, steps he's taken, he's proposed over $1 billion in spending. I think we have to be cautious of that. We're on track to get over $3 billion from the federal government. And while our finances as a state were really in fantastic shape going into this situation, that can all change on a dime, as it has in this situation. Just a refresher, we were projected to have over $1 billion in our rainy day fund. Our surplus was, I believe, about $800 million. You know, so budgets are all built on revenue projections, just like your family budget, just like your business. Well, guess what? The revenue, when you're projected to have 30% unemployment, the revenue is dried up. The surplus that we had is gone. The rainy day fund, which was zero in 2010, now sits at $650 million. So that's kind of our checking account to be able to deal with this. The governor is proposing over $1 billion in state spending. On top of that, $3 billion is coming from the feds. My response would be, let's be cautious here on how we spend that money from the feds. Let's make sure we prioritize it and use it for the needs of the state of Wisconsin before we go into deficit spending to fund the governor's $1 billion proposal. Remember, the feds can borrow money for operations. The state can't. We have to have a balanced budget at the end of the day.
As you mentioned there, Governor Evers is asking the legislature to approve hundreds of millions of dollars in funding and dozens of policy changes. Where do you see the most chance for bipartisan agreement?
Well, first of all, the bipartisan agreement, I think the Speaker and the Majority Leader have come out and said, Governor Evers, use your authority to use that federal money to buy the things that the state needs. There's not going to be any argument on that. But we're not going to give complete carte blanche to the Department of Health Services, a blank check, which was, I think the Fiscal Bureau called it unlimited GPR spending. There's still, even though we are in this together, there still has to be fiscal control, and there needs to be more than one person at the table having those conversations. We want to be supportive, but we still, at the end of the day, want to come out of this with our finances as strong as they possibly can, to ensure that we can jumpstart our economy back again to address the needs of the people of Wisconsin.
We're talking with Representative John Nygren of the 89th Assembly District, and you can join in. What are you seeking from state lawmakers as they consider economic relief bills and measures for health workers? Which workers need help right now? How would you prioritize state tax dollars and the economic stimulus money coming down the pike? Be part of this conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. There's more State Cap in just a moment with Representative John Nygren right here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Representative John Nygren on the line. He's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. That's the State Budget Writing Committee. He's been saying that our state is in a good financial position as it heads into the fiscal fallout of COVID-19, but that could change. That could change very quickly if the state falls into deficit spending. And Representative John Nygren stays with us. Let's take another call now. Lois is with us from DeForest. Hi, Lois.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Since our state is going ahead with the primary tomorrow, and in-person voting, I guess my question and concern is for, I've already voted, but for those who are planning to go to the polls, so many of the polls have been closed. I guess I would like to ask, you know, how we can do this, you know, and still be able to, you know, fulfill our constitutional rights to vote.
Representative Nygren?
Well, based a lot of the polling locations were closed based on manpower. I have not gotten an answer with the 5,000 National Guard members coming in if that would, has been able to be changed. I know locally, typically in spring elections, because there's smaller voter turnout, the city of Marinette, I actually live in the town of Peshtigo, but the city of Marinette actually consolidates to one voting location because it's a lower turnout election. So I would think, first of all, with the additional assistance, they could expand to more locations, and also understand that it is a smaller turnout election than what we typically see during a presidential election. So those, I think both those things have to be taken into consideration.
Let's bring in Shirley now in Eau Claire. Shirley, hi. Hi, Shirley.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Shirley.
No, this is Mike.
Oh, hi, Mike. I'm sorry. It says Shirley.
Okay.
All right, Mike, what's on your mind?
What I wanted to talk about is I still disagree with the representative on, you know, that we can't have the vote at a different time or allow absentee ballots to go on longer, that I believe that, you know, we should be able to vote anytime by absentee ballot.
Well, Mike, thank you for that. Representative Nygren, that, you know, Mike is really trying to say we should have expansive mail-in ballot opportunities.
So, first of all, I would just go back to what I had said earlier. If we're going to do that, you know, that should have been set up months in advance, or weeks in advance at the very least. I've read some articles from the state of Washington, who I think does pretty much all mail-in ballots for their elections. The comments I've read from their situation was this is not as simple as you just flip a switch and you accept all mail-in ballots. It's actually just like any other election. There's a process that needs to be considered, and unfortunately, Governor Evers waiting till the last minute to call for that. You know, the Elections Commission said it just was not feasible at that time anymore to actually make that happen. So, hey, there's going to be a lot of things we're going to review when this thing is all said and done, as far from, you know, emergency powers of the president, of governors, voting processes, all those things. You know, we will have those conversations when this is all said and done. But today, we need to be able to move forward in a safe manner to ensure the integrity of the vote and the safety of people who are actually working the polls.
You mentioned their emergency powers. Governor Evers is seeking to extend his emergency powers indefinitely. What is your position on extending his powers?
So I can't speak for all my colleagues, but I think that is a very high bar to be able to expect the legislature to say one person can make all these decisions for an extended or indefinite period of time. And I would make that same argument whether it's the President of the United States who is a Republican or the Governor of Wisconsin who is a Democrat. That has to be a very high bar for us to be able to put that power all in one person's hands.
Let's look more at the funding coming through here. More than $100 million in grants could be provided to hospitals and other health care providers under the governor's proposals. After the $2 trillion federal aid package, do you see a need for additional state-funded aid?
You know, first of all, this goes back to what I said earlier. I think we need to take, you know, even though they said the federal government has acted very quickly and we're actually expected to get some of that money within just a couple weeks period of time, and I think that'll be very, very helpful. But they're providing funding for everything from hospitals to universities to schools to childcare, rental assistance, even the arts. We have to make sure that money is spent appropriately and wisely, and I think it can, to assist in this pandemic situation, to make sure that our hospitals, who are losing millions of dollars a day because they're not doing elective procedures currently based on CDC recommendations, we can use that federal money wisely and then, beyond that, fill the holes with the limited resources that the state of Wisconsin has. That basically, in my opinion, that $650 million rainy day fund, thank God we had it. It was zero when we started. Thank God we had it. That is going to be our backstop to be able to fill where the federal government resources fall short.
We're talking with State Representative John Nygren, looking at the coronavirus pandemic, the financial implications for the state. He co-chairs the legislature's influential budget committee. Still time for your questions, 800-642-1234. Representative Nygren, let's look a little bit at the financial resources of the state. If the state would exhaust its rainy day fund, what happens if the state falls into a deficit, or can it borrow money?
We do not borrow for operations. So once again, we cannot run a deficit budget. We need to make adjustments. So it's possible that you would have to see reductions in other areas of state government to be able to fund some of the ongoing needs. I actually think the current state budget, so we run on a biennial budget, from July 1st through June 30th each year. So I think the budget we're in currently, we've got until the end of June for the current budget year. I actually think we'll be okay, but I'll knock on wood when I say that. The second year of the budget, I think we're going to have serious conversations about that second year, because the projections I've seen, if we just go back and look at the downturn in 2008-2009, the Great Recession, that was a 7% reduction in state revenues. That would be nearly $1 billion of loss in revenue in 1 year. Or I'm sorry, that was in 2008-2009. Based on today's numbers, that would even be a greater number. So I think the second year of the budget, we're going to have to look at possibly freezing expenditures in the second year of the budget where possible to be able to make sure that the state is not running a deficit budget and that we still have the resources available to fund our priorities.
As we start to wrap up here, state health authorities have reported two positive COVID-19 cases in Marinette County, where you live. How did people feel about the pandemic in your corner of the state?
Rural Wisconsin, I think, looks at this a little bit differently. I live in just a few miles outside the city of Marinette. We've been practicing social distancing for a long time. It's kind of our lifestyle. We live farther apart from people. We're not on top of each other, not riding buses to work. My impression of what my neighbors have done is that they're respecting the order, yet they're going about their life. Marinette is a manufacturing town, so you're still seeing people going to build ships, work in the paper mills, work in the foundries, because under the governor's orders, those things are still allowable. And in my opinion, if we go to that extent, completely shutting down our economy, we would risk another depression in our nation. And I think we have to balance the safety and health of our citizens, which should be primary, with also our economic concerns, because that will affect our health in the long run as well.
Representative Nygren, thank you for joining us.
Have a great day.
You too. Stay well. John Nygren, a Republican state representative, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, represents part of Northeast Wisconsin, including Marinette, Oconto, and Suamico. We are planning more conversations about the COVID-19 pandemic this week. Want to answer your questions, and you can call during the live program, of course. You can leave us a message anytime, 833-424-3327. Let me say that again, 833-424-3327. Be sure to mention your name and city, like Kate from Madison, so we can thank you on the air. This is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.